Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea's first Sunday broadcast. I'm Reverend Alethea Smith-Withers, the pastor of the Pavilion of God. If you're in the Washington metropolitan area, I invite you to join us for worship on any Sunday at 6401 Chilham Place, Northwest. The Pavilion of God is located again at 6401 Chilham Place, Northwest, Washington, D.C. Our Bible study is on Thursday evening, and it will begin on September the 25th. So listen on Sundays, and you'll find out more about our Bible study that begins on Thursday, September the 25th. I invite you to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com, Pavilion of God, P-A-V-I-L-I-O-N, of God, on Facebook. Or please connect with me at Rev Alethea on Twitter and Rev Alethea on Instagram. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., I'm here, and I do everything I can to rev up, accelerate, and energize your life. To rev up, accelerate, and energize your thinking. And I talk about everything from pop culture to politics. So join us on Tuesday at 7 p.m. On Tuesday, September 9th at 7 p.m., I will be talking with Mr. Otha Thornton, O-T-H-A Thornton, T-H-O-R-N-T-O-N. He's the president of the National PTA. You know, September is the month that we should be thinking about education for our children, for our young children, our middle school children, our high school children, and certainly even after that to college or any additional education. But Mr. Thornton's expertise is on kindergarten through 12th grade, and he is the president of the National PTA. So if you're listening to this broadcast and you're in Texas, this man is still someone you need to be listening to. He is the first African-American male to be president of National PTA. I'm excited about this. What an opportunity it's going to be to talk to him and listen to his experience and insight and support for all parents and all of us who work with and love our children. But I have a word from you. I'm praying that God has given me a word to preach and teach this morning. So I want to invite you to pray with me right now. Won't you pray with me? Open your heart. Open your mind. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and through you as you hear these words of prayer. Merciful and ever-loving God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah, thank you. Thank you, Father, Mother, God. Thank you for your mercy, and thank you. And by and through your mercy, we're asking that you forgive us today. For you forgive us day in and day out. You forgive our dastardly deeds. You forgive our arrogance and our attitudes. And God, we thank you right now for helping us to know your mercy and your love. We ask that you enable us to be more like you. For in your word you teach us, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. You teach us, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. So help us to be merciful and loving. Help us to be merciful to our family, our spouses, our mothers, our fathers, our children. Oh God, help us to be merciful to our friends and to our coworkers, and to saints and sinners alike. Yes, oh God, as we wrap ourselves in your mercy and forgiveness, as we stand in the righteousness of your love, and as the light of God shines upon our faces, and as we are all aglow, feeling good on this day, holding to your unchanging hand, as we proclaim who we are, and whose we are, as we come before your throne of healing mercy, as we seek your provision, as we beseech you for favor and blessings that only you can give. open our hearts. Open our hearts to be merciful, even as you are merciful to us. This is my prayer, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. What a beautiful and wonderful day this is. I want you to know, beloved, that I have been away for five Sundays from the Pavilion of God, and it was a time that was much needed. It was away. Now, I don't do vacation like everybody else does vacation. I'm away, and I also do other things for to serve the Lord. But I thank you for the time away, and I ask you to pray. As I ask you to continue to pray for me. My time away was wonderful and a great blessing. I had time for more prayer and meditation. I meditated during August faithfully, and I'm thankful for the prayerful meditation when I could stop talking long enough. As meditation is like that, beloved, when you are listening to what God is saying to you. Ah, the silence. Praise the Lord. During August, I had time to lead the Pavilion of God in a mission and vision session. I was prayerful about that. I'm asking that you continue to pray about our vision and mission statement. We will be making a decision on that next week. So please be at church so we can work together to decide the vision for the Pavilion of God and the mission statement for the Pavilion of God. I also completed a proposal to help small and mid-sized churches embrace social media tools. Oh, hallelujah. This is a social media tool that I'm using this morning to broadcast a message to the people of God. Social media tools, another gift from God, and we have to learn to use these gifts from God. And during August, I told you I didn't just have time off. During August, I also preached one time. I preached at 19th Street Baptist Church to kick off their celebration for the 185th anniversary, the oldest Baptist congregation, African-American Baptist congregation in the nation's capital, 19th Street Baptist Church, where Dr. Derek Harkins is the pastor. I thank all the beloved members and friends of 19th Street Baptist Church. I thank the pastor allowing me to preach this message during this time of celebration. Again, beloved of the Pavilion of God, thank you for my time away, and I ask you to pray for me. Remember that my time away really wasn't time away. It was time used in a different way. We need to use our time in God's way, in a divine way, and I pray I use it in a Jesus way. And during that time away, God gave me a scripture for today's message, and it's found in the New Testament, in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Philippians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. And I'm going to read from the Message version. You may use any version you'd like to listen to, but I want you to hear specifically the Message version of Philippians 3, 12 through 16. It reads thus. I am not saying that I have this all together, that I've had it made. But I am well on my way reaching out for Christ, who has wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal. I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's get focused on that goal, those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. May God add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and the full understanding of God's most holy word. Hallelujah. The book of Philippians, beloved, was written by the Apostle Paul. It was a prison letter. It was written as Paul was waiting to be released from prison. When you're waiting, you can sit down and do nothing, or you can be in communion with the Holy Spirit. During August, I was in a time of waiting, but I wasn't waiting doing nothing. I was in communion with the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we ought to know that waiting time should not be empty time. It should not be fallow time. It should be a time of when we know that there's a seed that God has planted in our hearts and soul, and we should be able to trust during those times of waiting that something is happening. There's growth going on, even if that growth is out of sight. Hallelujah. Even if the growth is out of sight, even as we are waiting for a breakthrough, God should be doing. If you've been saved by God's grace, I want you to be assured that when you are waiting for a breakthrough, God is doing something within you. Oh, hallelujah. Something was planted in Paul while he was yet in prison. There are times when many of us feel trapped, incarcerated, held back, restrained. And if we know that God has planted something in us, we know that God is doing something in us in those times that appear fallow, those times that are waiting, where we're not moving around. God is still doing something within us. And when he was in prison, God was working within him as he was waiting for release. And I'm reminded in Isaiah 40:31, it reads, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." So when they're waiting on the Lord, strength is being renewed, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. You see, the word, I preached this before, when I say it again, so take down the notes, that the word in the Hebrew text for wait is kavah. It's not idle waiting. It's not the kind of waiting where nothing is happening. Something is happening. It's active waiting. That's the kind of waiting God wants us to open ourselves, our hearts and minds to. You see, when you're sitting doing God's work, and when you're still doing God's work, your strength is being renewed. That doesn't mean you have an idle mind. It means that your mind is stayed on Jesus. It means that you're in meditation. It means that you're in prayer. It means that you're studying the word in your heart and your mind, and that you're holding those divine thoughts in your heart and mind. That's why your strength is renewed. In Psalm 27, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall what? Strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so when we're waiting, we're not waiting on a friend to do something for us. We're not waiting on someone to tell us we've gotten the job. We're waiting on God to open the door. There's a difference. There's a big difference. That kind of waiting is not fallow. That kind of waiting makes a way for a breakthrough. Paul was waiting on the Lord, praying and writing to those who God had charged him to care for, those in Philippi. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul was saying that he was saying thank you to the church at Philippi. He was thanking them for their support and their love and provision of God and the provision of God who held me in prayer. I'm thanking you for your love and for your support. What a blessing it is for any pastor to have the love and support of those that God has charged him or her with. And so I'm thanking as the Apostle Paul thanked those, the Philippians, and those God had placed on his heart. Feel as if, hallelujah, I feel as if the Apostle Paul looked into my heart these centuries later, that the Holy Spirit connected to him to what I needed to hear. And I believe thousands upon thousands have needed to hear Paul's words. But he spoke them to me and the real in my life. Now, verse 12 says, I'm not saying that I have this altogether, that I have made it, but I am well on my way reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Today I am saying, I want you to hear that I know I don't have it all together. That I know that I haven't made it. But though I know I haven't made it, I believe in the deepest part of my heart. And some of you are right there. You know that you're well on your way. You're well on your way. You're well on your way to being a better parent. You're well on your way to being a more devoted friend. You're well on your way to being a more committed worker. You're well on your way to accomplishing a particular dream that God has given you. If you know you're well on your way and you know it in your heart through the power of God, that's not arrogance. That's faith. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to and through you. I know I'm well on my way. I know that I'm reaching out for Christ, who has reached out for me. There are times when I have been so broken that I couldn't reach out my hand lest Christ reached out for me first. I know that as a breast cancer overcomer, I know that Jesus is walking with me. I know that as a founding pastor of the Pavilion of God, a church that has managed to be a living, growing congregation for 14 years, what a blessing it is to say that I'm leading a church through the power of God that is still growing in the power of the Lord. I know I'm well on my way, and I know that Christ has reached for me. Paul goes on to say, friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal. This translation is powerful. It makes the complex so simple. It makes it so down to earth. I understand Paul's words when he says, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward, to where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I see the goal. You know, a lot of us talk about, I'm just going to heaven. God is beckoning us on to Jesus in this life that, and in the life to come. Paul is telling the truth to me and others. I know that I'm not an expert, but you know, you don't have to be an expert preacher. You don't have to be an expert parent. God doesn't look for experts. God looks for willing servants. And I've got my eye on the goal as a willing servant, and I know that God is beckoning me onward, beckoning us onward to Jesus. Jesus is my goal today and tomorrow. I want to walk with Jesus. You know, I know Jesus walks with me, but I want to walk with Jesus. You know, when you have the desire to be with Jesus and you can trust that Jesus is embracing you, there's a spiritual rhythm that occurs. You begin to know Jesus as a friend. And in Proverbs, we read there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother or a sister. you know, where there is like-mindedness, where there is a spiritual connection, where there is that spiritual rhythm, where you can move a lot step together, and you know that you're not alone. Hallelujah! To know that you're not alone, to be able to in those times of trial and tribulation, doubt and dismay, when you're most frightened of what is in front of you, and 'cause you know some of us are frightened about what we can't see behind us, and there are those of us in times in all of our lives when we're frightened about what is in front of us, what we can see with our natural eyes, but to know that Jesus is walking with you closer than a brother. Jesus is my goal, and I'm off and running. I'm not turning back. Off and running. Philippians 3:14, I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. I'm not turning back. You know, this time away, this vacation time during August made me more committed than I have ever been. I'm proclaiming in this moment for all who choose to hear. I want you to hold me in prayer. I want you to hear the confession of my heart, and so I'm not turning back. Despite the frustration, despite the challenges I have to face in ministry, and beloved, there are challenges that we all face in all aspects of our life, but if you want to find some challenges, be a woman in ministry, and I'm here to declare, but that's not something I am, I'm not cursing the darkness because of the challenges in ministry. In fact, I am not turning back because of the challenges and frustration, because of what God has promised, what God invites us to do. You know, I'm not turning back. I'm not turning back. I'm avowed in the name of Jesus to move forward. You know, a lot of us turn back because we are so accustomed to things coming fast and easy, fast food, quick fixes, rapid remedies. Because things are fast and appear easy, they don't last. And things don't last, like relationships don't last, and commitments don't last, and even business and academic ventures don't last. People start school and they're out of school in a year because it's tough. We don't know what it means to not have a quick fix in learning. We don't know what it means to have a quick fix in relationships. I mean, everything needs to be a rapid remedy or we're out. We let go, we drop out, we turn back without a blink of an eye. We let go of relationships and commitments to all kinds of commitments. Hallelujah. I know I stepped on somebody's toes. We let go of commitments. We drop out. We turn back in the blink of an eye. I'm not turning back. I'm an avowed, committed follower of Christ. I'm not turning back. Jesus replied, you know, in Luke 9:62, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. That was a warning from Jesus. Paul is not offering a warning in this chapter. What Paul is offering is an invitation not to turn back. Jesus warns us. Paul invites us. And I'm not turning back. And I'm inviting you, number one, to hear and pray for me. Know that I'm not turning back, that God has given me the pavilion of God, and now God has opened the airways for me to preach and share a message with a broader community of God. God has called me. I believe Christ died. I believe Christ resurrected. I believe that God gives us choices to follow Christ and to be a part of the body of Christ. What a powerful gift this is. You know, it is an invitation. Jesus offers a warning, and also through Paul, he offers an invitation. And I'm praying that you get focused on your growth in the Lord. Keep your eye on the goal. God has his all pastors special messages to preach. Mine is Christ crucified, died and resurrected for us. I preach about choice, and those of you who know, I preach about power. Hallelujah. Power. Power, the power that God gives us, power that we receive from peace. Peace gives us power. Peace gives us power. When we have the power of God, we can recognize the provisions God gives us. When we accept the power of God, we can embrace the promises of God. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. But I know for myself, I'm not turning back. I'm asking you to not turn back, not to turn back from your call, from God's call to you. Each one of you is listening under the sound of my voice right now. I want you to know that God is calling you to serve the Lord. God has called you to serve. You have been called to serve. In my congregation in the Pavilion of God, I'm so thankful for those who have accepted the call to serve. I'm thanking God for Deacon Charles Withers. I'm thanking God for Deacon Avia Mebane. I'm thanking God for Raul Dennis. I'm thanking God for Deacon Agneta Coleman. These servants of the Lord brought messages during August when I was away. They brought messages because they knew, they know they're called by God to serve. And in Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 through 16, so let's keep focused on that goal, the goal to serve, the goal to serve. Those of us who want everything need to stay focused on the goal. And it goes on to say, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, because it's amazing, beloved. It's amazing how we say, I'm committed, and we say it aloud for our friends to hear. We say it aloud for our church members to hear. We say it aloud for to declare to people we don't know, I'm committed, but I'm not totally committed. It's the thing that we keep secretly hidden in our heart. I'm committed to do those things I want to do, those things that are easy to do, those things that are fun to do. But God will clear up your blurred vision, so that you can understand that God wants total commitment. So trust that God is working to clear up your blurred vision so that you can be on the right track. And I believe that the Pavilion of God, God has given us so many blessings, and we're on the right track, for God is faithful. The third thing I want you to know today is that God called us and wants us not to turn back from acknowledging our blessings. So I'm saying to you who are listening right now, God is saying don't turn back from acknowledging your blessings. Don't turn back from service, and don't turn back from acknowledging your blessings. You know, sometimes we don't want to acknowledge our blessings because we know we have to say, thank you, Lord. We have been blessed. The Pavilion of God has been blessed with a beautiful worship space, and we're so thankful for our new worship space, and it gives us an opportunity to serve God in a more powerful and wonderful way, 6401 Chilham Place, Northwest. We are thankful for that worship place, and that kind of thanksgiving is something that we need to say thank you, thank you, thank you for, and we have to be willing to show our thanksgiving to the Lord. We're thankful for the children of this congregation. I'm so proud of each and every one of our young people. We're thankful for the healing and the laughter and the love. And you know that one of the things we do at the Pavilion of God, we surely know how to not only serve the Lord, but be joyful in fellowship with one another. We have a good time. We have a good time. We don't want to turn back from acknowledging the blessings of fellowship, the blessings of healing, provision, and power that God has given us. I don't want you to turn back on being a blessing. You know, when God has blessed you, God blesses you to be in thanksgiving, and God blesses you to become a blessing. You know, Paul knew that the church at Philippi was blessed, and he was asking them to be a blessing. And he encouraged their growth. I'm encouraging your growth, just as Paul encouraged those, the Philippians, to grow. I want you to be in a place to know that God has blessed you and that you have to be a blessing. You have to be a blessing to your children, be a blessing to your friends, be a blessing in your workplace, be a blessing in your neighborhood, be a blessing others. In verse 16, so let's keep focused on that goal. Press forward. Those of us who want everything God has for us, we have to be ready to press forward. If any of you, says Paul, have something else in mind, I'm saying the same thing to you. If you've got something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. I want you to know that God is calling us in this month of September to be a blessing, to press forward, to not turn back, to praise God each and every day, to count our blessings and to name them one by one, to see what God has done in our life. We are called, beloved, to press forward. We're called to not turn back, to not make that U-turn, to not give up hope, to not wonder if God has forgotten us, to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has blessed us to be a blessing to ourselves and to those we can't even name in this moment, that we will be a blessing for generations yet to come. Do all that God is calling you to do, not just so that your household will be blessed, but so that you will be a blessing unto the generations yet to come. Know that you are standing on blessings that others have been faithful to and that God is calling you to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's keep focused on the goal of Jesus. Let's know that God is faithful to us. Those of us want everything God has for us. Open up your heart and know that God has already given you your blessing. God has already given you your blessing. All you have to do is open your heart, embrace it, and accept it, knowing that you are the blessing that God has called into this moment and into this place and time. I am so thankful. I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning me onward. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. I'm focused on that goal. If any of you have something else in mind, pray, trust that God will clear up your blurred vision. That's all the Lord gave me, beloved. It is in Jesus' name that I pray and praise the Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. I don't want to end this broadcast without offering an opportunity to you. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm not where you want me to be, but I trust your forgiveness and your mercy and your love. I believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay a price for my sin, and I trust that you will wash me clean and make me whole. I ask that you come and be the Lord of my life, be my Lord and Savior. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Beloved, if you pray this simple prayer, I believe that Jesus has come into your life. I invite you to reach out to a Bible-based congregation and connect in fellowship with them. Reach out to the Pavilion of God. We're right here for you. Where our doors are open, where our growing congregation, When you come in, you're not a number. We know your name. We embrace you in love. We are come as you are, fellowship. Come and worship with us on a Sunday. We'd love to have you. Come to Bible study with us. We'd love to see you. Call in for prayer on a Wednesday at 6 or 12 noon. We'd love to have you pray with us. Beloved, join us. We have joined God. We are children of the God, and we are the pavilion of God. God bless you until next Sunday when I'll be back to share another word from the Lord. Join us on Tuesday as we rev up, accelerate, and energize your life. Amen, amen, and amen. Say-